こんにちは。You are now listening to part 2 of the December 16th. ジミー・ドアネショー。
That's right. Well, not only that, we thought we had gotten away from the Jack Rhodes show, but...
No.
Hey, first time caller, long time listener.
Shut up! Oh my God.
Jack Rhodes
is calling in. That's right. Well, so you were at the hospital with you because your son swallowed a dollar?
Swallowed one of the new gold dollar coins.
No cheap son, he.
No, didn't want to swallow one. All is well, we're doing well, but as always, there was a lesson learned.
I'll bet there is.
Are you going to sue the Mint?
Oh yeah, I was thinking that, you know, what are they doing making a coin like that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, you know, they ban everything from, you know, Legos, whatever it is,
well,
you know. I mean,
it was this new $1 coin, you know, the new one, not the Sacagawea.
The Jefferson one.
Yeah, the new one.
The new Jefferson one. Okay,
yeah,
well, there ought to be.
That's what attracted him. It drew him in like one of those. Fake candy coins.
Attractive right. is attractive nuisance. Well, there should be a warning label on the damn thing.
Absolutely.
I mean, not suitable for children between 2 and 8 or something.
Absolutely. Well, he was 9, so we'll have to up that a little. You know, but absolutely, they made it look like candy. What are they thinking?
Call the Consumer Product Safety Commission.
I mean, welcome to America. We got a lawsuit.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I think that there's a repository. If they're going to confiscate all those coins, I've got just a place for them.
Absolutely.
We're going to set up new.
We accept PayPal or the gold $1.
That's
coin.
Right. No, Jimmy's dump.
Right.
Jimmy's refuse collection.
Jimmy's junk.
That's
just
it. Jimmy's
throw it in the
junk.
Envelope. You
that's
know,
it
costs you $2 or $3 to send it, but that's
right.
Okay.
Free Fred Sanders. You know, we're gonna
Fred Sanford.
Fred Sanford.
Right.
That's right. So that'll
be good bumper music there too.
That's so anyway, we were talking about a couple of things that actually you might be interested in. This I saw where they've come out with some new stem cell research.
Stem cells.
Yeah, well, they're now finding this. You know, they found, I think we talked about this in the last podcast, that they're finding the kind of stem cells they can use in other places in the body, and now they're finding that to fix breast defects.
I'm all about that.
Well, I mean, that's not all. I mean, of course, you don't have to read too far in this article to find out exactly what we're thinking. It's the cancer people, of course. You know, if you have a lumpectomy or something, it turns out that there's some problems.
Oh,
there.
I thought you meant size defect.
Yeah. No. Well, wait. Of course. Oh, duh. You did, and I do.
You
got to
go after them.
You have to. That's right. You see, you have to read the next paragraph. The approach is still experimental, but holds promise for millions of women left with cratered areas and breasts that look very different from each other after cancer surgery. Here's another sentence. It also might be a way to augment healthy breasts without using artificial implants. Well, duh. So far, it's only been tested on about 2 dozen women in a study in Japan, noted for not the huge breast department, but still.
A good place for a study.
That's right. I mean, can you imagine not only the Oriental looking, but to have these monster mans?
Man.
Doesn't get any better than that. And it says, I love this. Here's one of the last sentences. This is a pretty exciting topic right now in plastic surgery, said Dr. Gutowski of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. there are people all over the country working on this. I guess there are.
It's a hands-on project.
Including Jimmy.
That's it. No, hands-on is, I like that part.
Yep,
no, but I mean, this is the point. Well, you know, one of the things that made computers great were the games and the porno industry.
Right.
Let's face it. So if the cancer people want to get cured, what you do is you come up with this for the Hollywood crowd.
Right.
And guess what? It suddenly becomes
it takes off.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Duh. I mean, this is the market system at work.
As always. Hey, so this phone thing, he's working, huh?
Yeah, believe how it's so perfect.
It's really working well. I can't believe it. I mean, there's the tubes are glowing pretty hot, but it's actually...
I'm a little warm. So our guest will be able to call in. It's 1-866-95-JIMMY, right?
Well, we haven't done that yet.
Okay.
What we're doing right now, for the testing, we're calling in on Jimmy's home phone line.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But,
well, which is just as well, because, I mean, unless you're psychic, you're not going to know when the hell we're doing the show anyway.
That's exactly the point. And we do have some psychic people, of course, that we have some nut jobs that listen to this thing.
Ourselves included.
It's nut jobs, they fit in perfectly with
that's
the crowd.
Right.
You know, some nut jobs put it on, and yes, we're speaking to our audience.
Well, you watched the Democratic debate today too, didn't you, Jack?
I did see it. I think it was last night. I saw that it was the rerun. You know, it was I think originally on Thursday. I want to say, but
good stuff there.
Oh, yeah. It was I'm at a loss for words at the excitement.
Jack is at a loss for words. Okay, that's it. No more Jack Rhodes show.
That's right.
We're back to the Jimmy Doan show.
That's right. You know, it's part of my research, of course, the plethora of research that we all do for the show.
Well,
I did watch it, and of course they're all idiots, but I'm happy to say that idiot numero uno is no longer running away with it. And of course, I'm speaking of
Hillary.
The big H.
Right. Well, so, again, Obama got Oprah to back him.
Oh, man, he got the big O.
He got the big O.
And that's a big O, for the women.
Yeah.
So, I absolutely got it like that. Obama was looking good. Of course, you know my theory. Anybody but Hillary.
Yeah.
And preferably not a Democrat. other than that, you know, it really was not that exciting. They tried to make up for, you know, they're trying to talk about the war a little bit more, but they're stuck on health care, they're stuck on all of that.
What's amazing, of course, is that with the writer's strike, I mean, everything is a rerun. I mean, it actually, if you want something new, it's the debate, and they still can't get anybody to watch the damn thing.
New Simpsons tonight.
Well, yeah, the buzzword, I think, the buzzword that got all the people that would take the surveys and they're sitting there pushing the button over and over, the buzzword was middle class. If you were talking, if you're aiming at the middle class, if you're doing, you know, hey, I'm going to help the middle class, you know, we're going to do it for the middle class.
Okay, well,
that seemed to be the buzzword.
Well, I think that aiming at the middle class is probably what they're going to do. It's going to be a bunch of arrows.
Guns, yeah.
If you think the middle class thinks they're going to get off, they got another thing coming.
And they're aiming to make us all middle class, including
the rich. Yeah, that's right. You were rich, and now you're
middle class.
Everybody wants to be middle class, including the rich.
That's right. So, yeah, don't waste your time watching any of the Democratic debates. You know, I'll waste my time doing it, and of course, always here to report on it.
That's good. Well, as I say, I found a new form of entertainment here. It's called a book.
I remember those.
That's a magazine. That's not a book.
But the pages fold out.
Started to. Yeah,
yeah.
They did initially.
That's right.
No question.
I don't like where the staples are. That's the problem.
Yeah, you got to be careful when you pull out that.
I know you rip off a part of the body that is not good. Okay, so
they haven't had staples for like 15, 18 years, Jimmy. Just
whoops!
They solved that problem right after you were a kid.
That's right.
Whoops! Jimmy shows his age. How could that be?
Hey, but I was running with you for a little while.
I love you. That's great.
Yeah, that's funny. So, all right, well, I'm gonna bail, but I
okay.
just Okay. Just wanted to say, hey, man, always listening to the Jimmy Doan Show.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, Jack. We'd love to have you back any time.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon. Later.
Okay, okay, buddy. Bye-bye. Oh, that's great. That's great. The Jack Rhodes Show is now. Now we can go back to the Jimmy Doan Show. One of the last things I had here, because I don't know if I want to get into the greenhouse grasses, which, of course, as always, is Canutism is its best. What a bunch of maroons those people are. But did you see where the cheesesteak owner is back in the news again?
Yeah, and this was from about a year and a half ago. Yeah.
We talked about it, and we got another phone line coming.
No, it's over there doing it. I mean, I think a tube burned out.
a silicone diode, but it had a little burp there. I don't know. The spark gap, is something wrong with the spark gap on that? I'm not sure.
Absolutely.
So anyway.
Transistor.
The teletype's working fine, though.
Yeah, that's good. It's pounding away at 110 baud. We're getting all our news today. I'll tell you that.
So the cheesesteak guy, this is the guy up in Philly who
put the English-only sign.
And
they hauled his ass around. I mean, they gave him a... what happened was Joe Vento, the owner of Gino's Steaks, and apparently it's quite a famous place up there, before the Philadelphia Commission on Human Relations, which filed the complaint. It's discrimination. He put a sign that said English spoken here. Now, the reason he says he did it was because it's so famous that he wants to dash the people through pretty quickly, and if they speak in a foreign language... it slows everybody down, and so, you know, he doesn't make the money. So it was a business, he said, it was a business decision,
right,
that people speak English when they order the stuff. Well, of course, it turned out that he's defending his policy in front of the, hadn't gone to court, it's gone in front of this commission. And apparently it's a three-panel commission, and they're all over him to have him take this sign down that says English only taken here when giving orders or something like that. Well, of course, you have the usual... whiners. The signs give a feeling of being unwelcome and being excluded, says somebody named Charles. And in February, the commission found, this is last February now, it's 11 months ago, whatever, 10 months ago, the commission found probable cause against Gino's Steaks for discrimination, alleging that the policy discourages customers of certain backgrounds from eating there. I mean, that's the discrimination. And apparently there have been some protesters, you know, no hate in our town. And the attorney for Gino said, look, there's no complaining party here. And, of course, we've talked about this before. That is to say, no Espanol person or Muslim or anybody
filed a complaint.
It was the commission that filed a complaint, and they've taken this thing. So when they asked him about it in front of this commission, of course, this is one of the things you get to lynch yourself, his usual gregarious self when he testified, waving his arms as he told us starting his steak shop in 1966 with just $6, and developing it into a multi-million dollar business. He turned serious when speaking about the signs, saying he posted them. The reason was twofold. He was making a political statement, yes, but he also wanted to keep the line in his fast-paced business moving. And, of course, the attorney said it should be dismissed, and the attorney for the commission said that the sign is not about political speech. He said it's about intimidation. And, of course, Ricardo Diaz, a Latino community advocate, called Vento's sign and its display of an American flag and eagle a mingling of messages. And I was wondering, so what's that?
What's the mingle part?
I don't understand that. I definitely feel it was targeted at us, Diaz said. I cannot go in there and order food in good conscience.
Then don't.
You know, exactly. And I love this, the last line. The three-member panel said no ruling was expected for at least 2 months. I mean, you know, this to me, of course, it's, you ask yourself, all the evidence is in. I don't understand why they didn't make a ruling right then on the spot. I mean, it's just,
this is a lot to consider here, Jimmy.
Yeah, it's, I understand, delicate, that. Well, of course, what they're trying to do is to feel the pulse to find out if they're right. going to get lynched or not,
exactly.
One or the other, obviously.
And see if anybody squawks out of the community.
Well, they're going to, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, is it going to be merely hate mail and anthrax envelopes, or is it going to be, you know...
Now, this is going to epitomize a political decision as opposed to being the right decision.
Oh, no question. No question about it. It never should have been brought.
No.
I mean, in the first place, it never should have been, obviously.
Look, everybody suck it up, get over it.
Yes, and let me tell you, that you brought up a valid point, and that is, it's not enough people suck it up these days. I mean, the fact is, the first thing that crosses their mind is, let's run to the government and complain and get something. Get the government, get the guys with the guns to do something.
Right.
I don't want to do anything. I'm going to call up somebody and have them do it.
It seems right. If you have a good cause on your side to invoke the powers that be to your side. But you got to be real careful. As we said many times, we've got constitutional prohibitions against power being used for certain things. And once you invoke it, even if it's a good idea, it can be turned around and used against you.
Yep.
And that's where we're at right now. Like you just said, more and more every problem that comes up, people say, well, we'll just get the government to solve that. And they don't even blink an eye. They don't even bat an eye at the idea that maybe that power shouldn't be wielded by anybody.
Well, not only that, of course, what happens sometimes is it comes back to bite the very people that started it all.
No, it definitely will eventually.
Yeah, definitely will eventually. I mean, and that's, of course, when you see one environmental group duking it out against another one.
I love that.
Yeah, I love those.
But we need this dock for the fish that go under. No, no, but we can't disturb the ground cover. That's
the worms.
Right. You know, it's like y'all fight it out.
That's it. You all fight it out. I only got another couple of things here. I did want to notice an article here. I think it was I don't know if it was an editorial anyway. Suicide bombing makes six sense in Halo 3. Have you seen them? I mean, because Halo 3, apparently, as you know, is quite popular. It's on the PlayStation.
Yeah, I've heard it's popular. I haven't played it.
Well, I haven't either. It's for kids. I mean, younger kids. When I was down in Honduras, I told you before, I think I mentioned this on one of the podcasts, that the reason I couldn't get on half the time was they would unplug me from the router.
Right.
Just because they wanted to play the Halo at higher speed.
Right.
And if I was on, it slowed them down.
Right.
So they're
getting killed.
But I mean, these kids down there were playing it literally 6-8 hours a day. And of course, they're getting all the Halo points. And this one guy here, Clive Thompson, who writes this article, said he enjoyed the game. He says, but the problem was, and I remember this from the old days, when the early days, when we used to play with a vector type program on the Play-Doh system up in Tallahassee, it was a Air Wars thing. And as soon as you take off, somebody would just nail your butt. You know, you'd get off the ground. I mean, it was worse than the Japanese Zeros coming in on Pearl Harbor. I mean,
right.
You just, you know, you'd start your engine, you'd go down the runway, and I was like, kaboom! You know, and because these experienced guys, and they had a faster connection or whatever. So anyway, this guy got sick of this because he only gets on for like an hour a week, and he said, you know, all these people, the real heroes of this thing are on for, you know, they're like that South Park thing where everybody sits around and gets fat, you know, in front of, you know, South Park episode.
They're trying to beat the guy in World of Warcraft.
Right,
or
exactly. So anyway, so he played Halo 3 online, and he's found himself adopting, with great success, terrorist tactics, including a form of suicide bombing. He goes here, says, I'll begin by pointing out a basic fact. A lot of teenage kids out there play dozens of hours of multiplayer Halo a week. And they become insanely good at this game. They could kill me with a single headshot from halfway across the map, or expertly circle me while jumping around, making it impossible for me to land a shot while they pulverize me with bullets. And so after a few weeks of this ritual humiliation, I got sick of it and devised a simple technique for revenge. Whenever they would start to shoot at him, he would give up and run towards them. And right at the last second, as his life points faded, he would whip out some kind of a grenade and blow him up.
Right.
And blow up everybody. And he says, as it was after pulling this maneuver a couple of dozen times that it suddenly hit me, I had quite unconsciously adapted the tactics of a suicide bomber.
Now the question is that when he blows up their character, do they start over from scratch or what?
No, what happens is apparently the elite Halo players don't want to die. If they die too often, they don't win the round, and if they don't win the round, they won't advance up the Xbox Live rankings. And for the elite players, it's all about bragging rights. So apparently, no, they don't start over from scratch, but apparently they drop
X amount of lives to,
yeah, exactly.
To get through
You know, when you're apparently they lose some points or something. But, they don't. I don't think they start off from zero.
Okay.
I'm sure they don't. Anyway, his psychology is, I know I'm the underdog because I know I'm probably going to get killed anyway. I'm never going to advance up the Halo 3 rankings because in the political economy of Halo, I'm poor. Specifically, I'm poor in time. The best players have dozens of free hours a week to hone their talents, and I don't have that luxury. This changes the relative meaning of death for the two of us. For me, dying will not penalize me in the way it penalizes because I have nothing to lose.
That's right.
I might as well take people down with me.
I kill you.
That's right. I mean, this is it. I just love this. And of course, since the game instantly resurrects me, I have no real dread of death in Halo 3. I mean, I just love this. And he says, I do not mean, of course, to trivialize the ghastly, horrific impact of real life suicide bombing. Well, bullshit, he does. I tell you, but I just love this. I mean, I love this thing. He's wondering if are you going to continue doing it. He says, and the truth is, I'm probably going to keep on doing it because when it comes to online Halo, I suck. So I love it. I mean,
so I suck, but I'm taking you down with me.
I mean, I thought this is such a great. I mean, it's just interesting that he would come up with this out of the millions of them. You'd think there'd be more, but I mean, here's a guy who I thought that was really cute. The next thing I've got here, one of the latter things, is was entitled "Slot Machines for the Young and Active."
Slots for tots.
Slots for tots, as EJ calls it. This is a venerable slot machine is undergoing a generational shift. For more than a century since its invention by somebody, slot machines have required only to pull a handle, basically, and some faith that you'll win. But now a new class of machines aimed at attracting younger players who grew up with video games is demanding something else, skill. This brings up to me a whole raft of things, and I don't know if we've talked about it. But I'm wondering if it's a skill, if it's skill based, is it gambling? And that's one of the reasons why I don't understand why poker, for instance, is they. And I remember a couple several years ago down in Largo here, there was a poker game that a bunch of the people used to get together, you know, three or four or five people, and they rated it. I mean, it was like it was. Now, don't get me wrong, it was an expensive game. I think it was $100, $200 buy-in or something. This was 20 years ago. Anyway, they rated it and took them all in because it was against the law. It is against the law, I think, still here.
Well, the way that it works is it's not actually against the law if the house doesn't take a cut.
Ah.
So you can play poker if you're sitting around playing as long as the house isn't getting a cut for doing nothing.
And well, what about...
And it is considered a game of skill.
Okay. Let me ask you this. What is there such a thing as an entrance fee?
It can't be. That's what I'm talking about.
No, just to walk in the door like
right.
A cover charge.
If you have that, then it's no longer a game of skill for the person collecting that money.
Okay, but I'm saying that if he's just renting out the room, say.
Well, right, and I'm, you know, there may be a way to structure it, like you said.
You rent out the room, you collect the money at the door. You have nothing, you know. You don't care much what goes on in there,
right.
So to speak. You know
right.
What's going on, but
the Hilton Hotel goes down for housing gambling.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. You collect the money. You collect $10 to walk in and play and do whatever you want to do, and there you play anything you want as long as it's poker. You get nothing. You know, if you get like in Vegas, you know, they get a 5%. Like when there's a big pot, they scoop off about 5% of every pot. That's the way they do it.
Right. And you're right. They could probably structure it the way you just said, which is we're just renting the room. It's a flat fee. They don't get any. We don't get anything off of the pots
or anything like that. They can bet nickels or hundreds.
Right.
We don't care.
Right.
We don't get a percentage.
And you'd probably be okay with that.
Well, but I'm wondering why it hasn't happened here.
Well, it actually is happening. It's happening all over the place now. It's starting to happen. There are places you can play. I saw poker. I was driving through Tampa the other day, and then they have poker now up at the dog track.
Right. Now, I do know that the dog track people, and I think this might mention this here someplace, because the Parimutuel people down here locally, down here 18 miles south of here, they want to have a poker room because the high lie is going down the toilet. You know, nobody's doing that anymore,
so
they want to open up. Yeah, they want to have slots, too, of course. That's the big deal in order to keep...
Well, and they are getting slots that have some measure of skill.
Well, that's what this talks about.
Right. And
of course, now my question is, now, the deal is that the slots are geared so that this is where it gets a little tricky. The slots are, in fact, geared to take a percentage. They do require skill, but apparently, even when you win, they take a cut or something like that. I'm not sure exactly how it works, but of course, then the question is, if there's skill like that involved, is it gambling?
And the answer, the short answer is no.
Yeah.
The short answer.
So why would it come under gambling? The gambling people.
Well, because it looks like gambling.
So what?
Well, I'm just saying, well, look, and the way the laws work is anything that looks bad can be assumed to be bad by the authorities. They assume if it looks bad that it falls under their jurisdiction and they're going to clean it up.
But clean it up.
Well, what's happened is you've got this infiltration of people doing exactly that. I've seen up in Ohio. I was up there recently and you've begun to see all of these, one-armed bandits with a little bit of skill, that is slot machines where you have to hit the button at a certain time.
Right.
You know, you try to time it to when the bar, you know, the stars are coming around or the cherries are coming around or whatever it is. And so there's a certain amount of guesswork and skill involved, and they're getting away with it.
Of course, the question, I mean, obviously it says the skill will take the player only so far as these machines are calibrated to pay out less money than they take in. So the fact is that...
Right. Well, what's happening here is this is the war over the obvious thing that gambling is not a crime with a victim. I mean, this is
right.
What's happening is even the authorities are realizing shit. You know, we let them play lottery and we let them do Do yeah. horses, you, you...
And not only that, and of course, you say that, but of course, when you realize that the Parimutuel and the Lotto especially is a cash cow for these people, I mean, nobody, if it weren't illegal to for me to set up Jimmy Doan's own lottery, I mean, I could set up one that would beat the pants off of this one, and nobody would play the Florida Lottery anymore. Because
you'd
I could
make
pay,
a billion
I literally,
dollars.
I could pay twice, or I could pay almost three times what these people pay, and still retire filthy rich.
Right.
Jimmy.
Yeah, right.
I think it's the way that it's going. I think people are coming up with these new revenue streams for the state. That's how they're pitching it. That's how they're getting it in. They're saying, oh, look, we'll do it this way and we'll pay you taxes. It's like everybody, even the people who are against drugs, a lot of them say, well, what we ought to do is legalize it and tax it. You know, it's like, oh, well, they figure if we can get something good out of it, which offsets whatever evil it causes. And that brings up
two other points real quick. I think this might be a slight digression. And that is I think I've mentioned this one time before, that a line item in the sheriff's budget is fines and forfeitures. That is when you say the authorities realize this, that, or the other thing, and from a practical standpoint. And I don't know if, when you talk about these, tax it versus, the forfeiture end of it, of that kind of thing. I don't know where that's headed. I would think that governments typically, I mean, in fact, I know here locally, they would rather own the item than tax it.
A perfect
example here locally is our electrical system. The regional utility system. It's a cash cow for the city. It, you know, what they get is far more than they would if it was, and they should sell it. Because again, what happens is just where this came up, and again, I'm digressing from my digression. Sorry, they are interviewing for a new head of the GR of the Gainesville Regional Utilities, and they spent 8 hours going through four or five people the other day. And I'm thinking, this is the stupidest thing in the world, because that's probably going to end up being some kind of. I mean, who are they, first of all, to figure out who's qualified? These are dorpy old city commissioners that have no experience in this at all.
They're not a bunch of electrical engineers?
No, they're nothing. The zip. And so they're interviewing these people. And for what? The good looks, personality? I mean, it's
ability to be controlled.
Something. Yeah. No, don't laugh. That's exactly right. And that is precisely correct. Whereas my solution would be sell the damn utilities off. And then let the stockholders or directors figure out what the hell.
Well, they're exploring the solution that Stalin used, obviously, which is you nationalize the shit out of everything.
Right.
You take it over. And I mean, they're one step beyond the fascists.
Right.
Which is, okay, let them run it and we'll just take all the profit.
Well, this, of course, again, coming back to the gambling part, and this is what started this, of course, was if it's skill, is it gambling? And how do they possibly stick their nose into it if there's any skill involved? I would just tell them to get lost as soon as you walk through the door and they say, well, we're going to arrest you for what? For gambling. There's no gambling here.
And then that's what you'd try to do. I mean, your lawyer would go in there and argue, let my guy go.
There's no gambling here.
Right.
This is a game of skill.
Right.
I mean, you know, you don't see, for instance, you do see poker champs, but you don't see lotto champs.
Right.
I mean, you just don't see some guy that's won at 14.
I can pick that number better than anybody.
But I won it 14 times. No, you don't see that. I'm sorry. Oh, let me ask you. I'm going to ask you a question. If you have the lottery was drawn last night. If you have those six numbers in front of you and you decide to play those numbers on Wednesday, are the odds greater or less that that number will come up again?
Exactly the same.
That is to say that it would come up twice in a row is exactly the same as it not coming up twice in a row.
After the first night, it's the same.
In other words, you got those six numbers. What are the chances after the first night? What are the chances of it coming up twice in a row?
Same, identical.
That is to say, what, 1 in 13 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just want to make sure. Good. I mean, there are some people who would say, well, no, you're never going to have it twice in a row.
Right. Now you go back the night before.
Yeah, no. Then it's billions. Right. I understand that. No,
well, you go back the night before what?
In other words, what are the chances that you have the same six digits, exactly the same two drawings in a row?
Right.
Okay, before the two are drawn.
Before
the first one's drawn, that's astronomical. So, you know, 13 million times 13 million or something like that, whatever that number
before
is.
Before the first one's drawn.
Yeah. After the first one's drawn, if you know the six digits that were drawn on Saturday, and you say, look, I'm going to play those six digits
right.
for Wednesday's drawing,
right.
what are the odds that it'll come up again?
Right.
and the odds are the same, as if anything else. There's no difference at all. And you fool a lot of people would say, well, you're not going to get it twice in a row.
Right, I understand that part, but what are you saying about the before part?
In other words,
if I tell you I'm going to flip this coin twice, what are the chances I get heads twice before I flip it the first time? Well, it's 50% I'm going to get heads first time, and 50% I'm going to get heads second time. So it's 25% that I'm going to get heads on, you know, both times.
Yes.
So now, if I flip it once and get heads, and then I ask you, what's the chance of me flipping it and getting heads a second time?
Still 50-50.
It's 50-50,
because
the first one's already come to pass.
Right.
Right. And so the question is, if you come up, let's say you knew the winning six digits for Saturday night's drawing, and you say, what are the chances? But you can't bet on it, okay? But you can bet on them the next Wednesday or something like that. What are the odds that it'll go twice in a row? And, the simple fact is that they would be astronomical.
Right.
On Thursday, it would be astronomical.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, gotcha.
So, okay, good. So done. So that's our mathematical lesson for tonight, and we cut all that out. The only other thing I had had to do with the Senate panel passes the bill to limit greenhouse gases. This has to do, the thing in Bali, and the guy's name is Boring Nunchuck or something, the guy that's running the thing in Bali. And the United States decided to kowtow or go, and they decided to say, it's okay, we'll agree to talk, is what they said. Apparently the whole thing in Bali was going to fall apart. This is the Kyoto, the fact that they're going to do the Kyoto thing all over again. Kyoto expires in 2012. They want to have a new agreement in place by 2010 that's going to carry to 2000, yada, yada, 160 countries, blah, 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 blah. It isn't going to make any difference. The Senate's are locally here, federal people's Senate panel passed a bill to limit greenhouse gases. A Senate committee approved a broad bill on Wednesday night. This is like about December, 10th or 12th or something like that, to address climate change, a major step towards the passage of a measure that would, for the first time, slow and then reverse emissions of the gases that scientists blame for the warming of the planet. The legislation would limit emissions for virtually all sectors of the economy, but would allow swapping of pollution permits among carbon emitters. Sounds like wife swapping to me. But the point is that this is King Canutism at its best. I mean, they're going to pass a law in the United States limiting our emissions, and everybody knows that by this time next year, the biggest polluter is going to be China on a roll that they won't be able to cut back, and India on a close second. And by the time this thing, even if it were to take effect, if we were to cut our emissions virtually, the United States, to zero tomorrow morning, if they think for 2 seconds that the plant that's going to affect the greenhouse gases, they're out of their minds.
Right.
I mean, and of course, they're not even talking about that. They're talking about, they're talking about a little haircut as far as the emissions are concerned. Just a little off the top.
There was something about Nancy Pelosi was trying to issue a bill to have taxpayer funds clean up stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Hard to believe.
It went on the Hanger Dog, sent it to me. I'll have to look for it.
I had a question for you, Jimmy. I saw this week that the day after Ben Bernanke, the Federal Reserve Chairman, gave the federal interest rate a modest cut, what everybody considered a modest cut, the stock market tanked. And then that night, he announced a new proposal. There's apparently, they're calling it a new way to lend money around, basically, to inflate the money supply.
Yeah.
To the tune of what they said was $40 billion a month. They said that they were going to pump into the overall money supply through a worldwide effort, coordinating the banks worldwide, in a sort of a mutual lending scenario.
So they're going to wash each other's laundry?
Yeah, something like that.
I didn't see that. I mean, I did see something that indicated there was a $40 billion one-shot deal for some of the local banks, Citigroup and some of those other people. They were supposed to be able to draw on something along those lines. I think it was about that. If there is a worldwide infusion, of course, that's what governments do best is inflation. And they love to do it, and they have been doing it. I mean, let's face it, Coca-Cola was...
I have seriously noticed, just in the last couple of years, it seems like we've realized some inflation down
at
the... I mean, these days, when I go to McDonald's, it's over $10 at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Just for one person.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's...
Oh, you know there was a problem when they started taking credit cards. I mean, you knew right away that when McDonald's start taking credit cards, that prices have really gone up. I mean, that's a little scary.
And we've seen the worldwide drop of the dollar against like the euro and
right, and it's gone down something like 60 or 70% against the euro, and it's even gone down about 30% or better against gold, which is the ultimate barometer. I tell you
those things don't look too good.
No, they don't. And in fact, they're not good.
Did you see Ron Paul on Jim Cramer the other day?
No, I didn't.
It was great. Yeah, Cramer and Ron Paul are on the same side.
On the same page,
right? Yeah,
yeah,
about that.
I've gotten so that I can stand Cramer. I mean, I kind of like Cramer. After Ms. Jimmy, of course, she worships the
man.
For God's sakes, I mean, she's getting ready to divorce me and go see him. I don't know. But yeah, no, that's you know, when I talk to her and she says, well, Cramer says this and Cramer says, shut up about Cramer. You know, that's right. I want to say. I wrote you something, and I'll have to put it on the blog, because I, right off the top of my head, what I wrote you, I thought was just brilliant. And for some reason,
it was really good.
And I can't think of how brilliant it was.
We'll post that on the Jimmy Jabber.
But it had to do with what is going on here. The fact is that Bernanke and these guys, it's a little scary because they're trying to push on a string. They're trying to solve a problem that wither away. They're trying to fool some people. They're injecting liquidity into the money supply is simply a way of inflating. They're staving off
some of the natural market correction.
The natural market functions. The fact is that, look, bad loans were made. It's just real simple. That could go back to some previous Fed problems of years ago. The fact that the bad loans were made in the first place to less than worthy people. Then they got hit with this two punch thing. A lot of the speculators, especially, they figured with house prices going up at, you know, 5, 10, 20% a year, they go down here to South Miami Beach or whatever, buy up make a deal to buy up 3 or 4 condos. They put down $10,000, borrow $1 million, based on the collateral of the condo, 100% financing. And then, and of course, this is a teaser rate that they're in on at like 4% or 3.5% or something for the first 3 years, and then it's going to go up to a normal rate. Okay, what happened in those 3 years? A, too many of these speculator people decided to put their condos back on the market at the same time. So there's a glut. So suddenly these condos are worth less than the amount of money that's borrowed, and the teaser rate is coming to an end, so the payments are going to go up. These guys are dying on the vine. I mean, they're in total.
So, but that's what's supposed to happen. They're supposed to die
right
on the vine.
They're supposed to die on the vine. They are supposed to declare bankruptcy. The condos become, they're picked up by somebody who,
they
an
get
actual
foreclosed
homeowner or somebody that
right
can afford it and so that actually can make the payments. But I mean, here's a guy who was, you know, when you realize that here's a guy who was making, $700, $800 a month payments, and those payments are going to go to $1,500. And you can't sell it because it's $1 million condo and it's now only worth $800. I mean, you're ready to take a $200,000 bath on three of these things, you know, and everybody else is too. The normal market procedure would be to let it happen. Now, what they said is, oh, because it turns out in this net, there were some legitimate buyers that maybe were at the same time in the bank at the same time, and they borrowed on a $200,000 house. They financed it at 90%, put down 10%. They're in it. They own it. But they got the teaser rate. And through no fault of their own, maybe, I don't know, maybe they had a job change or something, and now their payments are going from, you know, 800 to 1200.
But that's the price of doing business.
That's right.
I mean,
that is the price. So anyway, the point is that those are the people that are complaining. And so when you hear on Congress, they say, well, this little old lady with 6 kids, single mother, you know, only got one leg, and she's blind in one eye, and she's working, you know, 5 jobs, and we got to do something to help her.
5 jobs.
And she's black, and she's
right,
and she's and Hispanic too.
Right.
So she so we've got to help her, and so they want to pass a bill to stretch out the teaser rate, or they want to find some. And the taxpayer's basically going to pick up the tab. Well, you know, life sucks, and what should happen, and when you find out historically in the United States when we had crashes previously along these same lines. During the 19th century, they were over in a week, 2 weeks, a month, or, you know, whatever it was. But as with the Great Depression, Roosevelt decided to, help everybody out. And I don't know if people realize this, but from 1929 to 1938, we were talking about 9 years.
9 years.
And I mean, the unemployment rate, somebody once told me that the unemployment rate in 1937 was actually at or higher than 1929 or 1930. I mean, it was, in other words, it was that long And it was because of all these programs.
Well, he made everybody freeze their wages.
Well, which not was only that, he robbed everybody of their gold, which didn't help any. I
mean, right.
And the bank holiday. And no, it's a bunch of stuff. In other words, when you freeze one end, Ludwig von Mises pointed this out so perfectly, you can't do that. If you freeze one thing, it all squeezes out into another area, and then you have to freeze that area too. And that squeezes out again, and on and on and on, until you basically try and control everything. And it cannot be done. It's not nice to fool Mother Nature. You cannot control everything. Sorry. It just can't be done. And then you're in a totalitarian society. You've lost it all. Anyway, this is the point, is that Bernanke and some of these other people, they're caught between a rock and a hard place because they've made some promises they can't keep. And what the old solution has been for the last 50, 60, 70 years is to inflate the money supply. You give people money so that they can, quote, make the payment. But at the same time, what happens is interest rates go through the ceiling. I mean, there's a tremendous distortion through the economy.
There's a backlash.
It is a market backlash.
Right.
In other words, it's not a backlash necessarily with people so much, but it is, you are trying to affect the market in an area that ends up distorting it and prolonging the pain. And so the fact is, if these people are going to go bankrupt, believe me, they're going to go bankrupt. They should do it tomorrow. But they're going to hang on for 2 or 3 years, and everybody's going to get to bear the pain, and there's going to be some taxpayer money involved in it, and I don't know exactly. And then there's going to be some taxpayer bills passed. You know, Pelosi and these people are going to get up there and say, we need to help this poor mother with 6 kids, and there'll be some qualifications, some new people will be hired, no new agency, yada yada yada. I mean, in the idea that the market would self-correct. This is what's amazing to me. The market is so beautiful because it does self-correct. It's automatic. It's the most automatic mechanism known to man.
Yeah, I mean, what would happen if all these loans are allowed to default? So a few banks fail, some people lose their livelihoods and stuff or whatever it is, and then life goes on for everybody else.
It does. And in fact, those people will get back on their feet. It'll be like Jack Rhodes' kid. You know, you learn a lesson. You take the anesthesia for a couple of hours and the coin comes out and you know, have you learned a lesson? And the lesson is, you know, let's face it, the speculators, that's what you get. When you are a speculator, by definition, you are taking a risk. And if it goes bad, guess what? You get whomped. That's what speculating is all about. You don't get bailed out. I'm sorry. You are a speculator.
There's no crying in baseball.
There's no crying in investing and in speculating. That's right. So you take it on the chin, pal. Tomorrow, your loan is called. I don't care who you are.
Mm-hmm. Well, these days, it's a freaking bailout everybody type of mentality.
Yep, and it is. And that's how they collect the votes. And, of course, a lot of these, I suppose, some of these speculators are rich people. Maybe they even make a contribution. You know, that's how it is. You can make a $500, $1,000, or get your buddies, all your other buddies who are in the condo, the 22-story high-rise condo down there that 14 of your speculators have bought out all 103 units. And you collect up a couple of $1,000s each, make a contribution to the local Politico, and the next thing you know, you're bailed out.
Right.
It's so much fun. This is the way the system works.
Speaking of light notes, we got any light notes?
I'll tell you one thing. I did go to garage sales yesterday, as usual.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I did, and I scored dirt. not gold, not platinum, not silver, not copper. I scored some dirt. But I did have somebody give me, absolutely free, a Macintosh computer, a full-blown, you know, Macintosh computer. So it wasn't working. It needed a disk drive. So I went in and I fixed up the disk drive and made it work. Now, this computer was 8 years old. Obsolete. I mean, so obsolete. Now, you understand, I pumped this baby up to its full max plus. I went to the website, got all the specs on and everything. And in its day, which was like 1999, it was one of the most powerful ones you could lay your hands on. The deal is that I put this whole thing together and I said, well, you know what I can do is, the thing about it, this computer came out in 1997, was discontinued in 1998. It was one of the fanciest computers that Apple made at the time. It's a tower. So I pumped it all up. You can't put a browser on it. The fanciest browser I could find to go on this thing when you sign on to Yahoo, it says, we don't support your browser. This is 8 years ago, okay? Fancy's one. Number two, it didn't have an Ethernet card in it, so there's no way of getting on a network or anything like that. But turns out you could put one in it. It had a grand total of 128 megabytes of memory. Now, you understand this Mac G5 that I got here has 3 gigabytes.
Right.
I mean, this was 128. I mean, it's packed full. This thing is the cat's meow. You cannot believe it. And so I said, well, you know, maybe somebody else could use it. I'm trying to think, if you can't put it on the internet, I mean, somebody gave this to me. It was free. And it is, so I went on eBay to see what they're worth. You cannot, literally cannot give them away. 99 cents was the highest bid I saw in one of these. 90, because the shipping was $45. I mean, that's when you talk about obsolete, and I mean, I've ears that the technology has come along to this extent that literally you take these to the dump after 8 years. And I mean, they do this computer back just 8 years ago to would have done. I mean, it still will do. It'll spread Excel spreadsheets. You can run Office 2000. You know, you could run or not the Macintosh version of it, whatever it is. I mean, you could do all kinds of fancy things with this thing, but.
It is for the
I mean, and it weighs, you know, the thing with the monitor weighs like 70-80 pounds. So today you know for $900 you get something that is 10 times the power. you know your 2-year-old kid can carry it. It's just mind-boggling to me to see that. And I when I got home with it, I spent, you know, maybe 4 hours fixing this thing up, and I'm thinking, let me just do the math on this.
I saw a laptop the other day for like $350. Like it was like a $200 rebate or something.
Yeah,
but right. Still, I mean, $350, and it was full blown. I mean, 512
XP.
Yeah, XP.
Yeah.
You know, 2.4 gigahertz dual core processing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and I was just like, wow. I mean, $300. It's like, you know, a bar bill. You know?
Yeah, right. No, right. Could you imagine all the productivity in the world for a bar bill? No, it is phenomenal. I saw where the who's the big music people in Japan?
Sony?
Not Sony. The other one starts.
Yamaha.
Is it Yamaha? Yamaha's come out with their new machine. Have you seen that new machine? It's called the Tanuku 1 or something like that. They're not available here in the States yet. It's supposed to be the most newest thing you can ever do with. There's a video of it on CNET, I think. But it is the new machine that is supposed to set the pace. And it's supposed to be available here, I think, sometime next year, possibly. But they showed the guy from Yamaha demonstrating it. It's, you talk about technology, honest to God, what this thing does and what it is just, it blows my mind. I mean, just sit there and you think, when you think about what keyboards have come in the last couple of years and that sort of thing, I mean, what you can do with sounds, what we do here.
Right.
You know, we've got our mixer, the whole, we got literally what 25 years ago would have been $1 million studio.
Oh, absolutely.
Easily. And you probably wouldn't have been able to do some of the stuff we do.
Right.
And we did it for $5,000. Right. Donations welcome.
It practically mixes itself, right, E?
It practically mixes itself.
According to Jack Rhodes. Did you see where Kim Jong Il kicks Iran out of the axis of evil? He calls him not evil enough.
I don't believe it. Is that right?
I don't know.
Did he put his little finger in his mouth? You know, like Dr. Evil.
Yeah, not evil enough.
Oh,
that was
my
pretty
God.
Stitch sent that to me from the Hangar Dogs.
And this happened right after our last show. We missed getting it in here, but that typewriter mistaken for a bomb shuts down the street in Sarasota, Florida, right here in Florida, man.
Somebody, what is it, under a bus stop thing or what was it out in the road?
Let's see.
Did they detonate it?
Yeah, they did.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, they detonated the typewriter.
They blew up the typewriter, and apparently the keys... you know, spelled out, don't tase me, bro.
Oh, that was it. that's what it was, yeah. As they stuck into the wall. Yeah, it was a defective typewriter. You could tell because it was don't tase me, bro, there's two O's. No, I think actually that second O was a naught.
Yeah, it was a naught. Did you see that that ranch out in Vegas is supporting Ron Paul?
The Hooker Ranch.
Pimping for Paul.
Pimping for Paul. I think, you know, let me tell you. If Jimmy was ever going to support Ron Paul, that's where he'd go. I guarantee you.
Take your donations over there.
That's right. Hey, let me donate this, okay? I'll show you a donation.
Let's see. There was those people up in New York were took an ad out. They were begging for $1 million so they could buy their fancy apartment.
Apparently they got caught up in this loan thing or whatever.
Yeah, loan thing, exactly.
And so they're begging for it. And I think EJ wrote in and said the only thing that they're selling is their dignity.
I like that.
Yeah,
that was
great. Can you imagine? Please help us live in our $1 million. I'm thinking, who the hell would
there was some officers have decided to start using their mace more, apparently. More.
Oh, yeah, right here in Orlando. They maced a crowd of churchgoers, actually.
Yeah.
And
downtown Orlando.
Was this the Church of the Known Devil Scientology?
Well,
worshipers?
Something like that. But no. It was like a regular old Baptist church, but they were black. And so, you know, this was what happens is in Orlando.
They just decided to kind of air spray the whole crowd.
Exactly.
I mean, they just like flew a remote airplane control over it and let the, like spraying crops or something?
In fact, he sprayed it up in the air and down at their feet in order so that it would blow around in the crowd, not at any specific people. In other words...
Now, is this guy still on the force?
As of right now, and I guarantee he'll be vindicated when they review the policies. Because what's happening is this. Orlando has sort of grown up in the last couple of decades.
Oh, man.
And it's now it has like a nightlife. And it's kind of a pretty active nightlife.
Yeah, Church Street.
Right. Yeah. And the authorities, the powers that be, have decided it's a little too active. And so what they want to do is they want to shut the whole thing down right at 2 o'clock. And they're very pushy about it. And one of the ways they do it is just spraying mace around. And it's just unbelievable that
well, I guess probably what they could do to save themselves some money is they could
the pain ray.
Well, the pain ray would be one way, but I was thinking if they could probably in the sidewalks or in the walls, they could install some mace dispensers that would be automatically triggered at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
That way they wouldn't have to send the cops down there. They could
And then everybody's on notice.
Yeah, everybody's on notice. At 2 o'clock, the place
gas
would be blanketed.
The whole place,
gas the whole place. Yeah. I don't see a problem with that.
No. I've been watching the deterioration in police control of the public for the last 15 years, and
they're
not
supposed to control the public.
Well, I know, but it's got to the point of where they believe they are.
Okay, and this is, you talk about a losing battle. You talk about something that is a fool's errand.
And listen, they will always, when you hear them talk about it, in fact, in this particular case, the justification was, well, when officers are in a situation where we're outnumbered and things are out of control, for example, there are multiple fights happening, which wasn't happening, but in other words, they're justifying it
they're
by
religious fights anyway.
Well, you know,
was there any suicide Baptist in there?
So they justify it based on the idea that there needs to be some sort of control. And
instead of
they're getting away with it. Yeah, it's just at the point of where if you're out late, you might get gassed or whacked with a stick just because.
That's right. Yeah. You see, they're going to the IRS is probing Al Sharpton's finances.
Yeah. I mean, when about time? No, I mean, seriously, he needs to be probed. all those guys do. I mean, all those guys, the charlatans, I don't, you know, as far as I'm concerned. I take it back. If it's a. It's you can. He's a reverend, so it's a legitimate church, and he saves people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I guess again that was one of the reasons for having the fare tax is that the IRS wouldn't be
anybody with any money these days can be subject to some sort of harassment based on
especially if you are an outspoken person. You know, my friend Rich down here is, you know, they're after his ass all the time.
How's Rich doing?
He's doing okay, but he's. They came by and reassessed his taxes so that one piece of property he owned went from $76,000 to $196,000 in 1 year.
God.
And by the time he went down and said it doesn't make any sense, they said it's too late. We talked about that, the Vogons, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this notice was published on Alpha Centauri, and you should have been there.
Yeah, exactly. It's been there for 50 years.
Yeah, been there for 50 years. What do you mean you didn't see
it?
So tough shitsky, and, you know, anyway, he's upset.
The only thing I got is just a little joke here. I thought this was classic. Who sent somebody? I don't know. Somebody sent this to me. It was EJ. He goes, why men have better friends than women? And a friendship between women. A woman didn't come home one night, and the next day she told her husband that she'd slept over at a friend's house. The man called his wife's 10 best friends. None of them knew about it. Friendship between men. A man didn't come home one night. The next day he told his wife that he had slept over at a friend's house. The woman called her husband's 10 best friends. 8 of them confirmed he had slept over, and 2 could claim that he was still there.
That's it. That's it exactly. Man. Yeah. The only other thing I've got is tomorrow I'm going to go buy an emu egg.
Oh, cool. We got emu omelets?
We're going to have an emu omelet. They're 10 bucks here locally. I'm going to go see if I can crack one of those babies open. That'd be fun. And I've got to put up my antenna. So, anyway, for my ham radio. Okay.
Oh,
anyway.
That'd be really cool.
No way. I've got the antenna. The antenna actually is laying in the yard now.
Really?
It has moved from the garage into the yard. Yes.
It's amazing. If we had stop-action photography around here, it's amazing to see what would happen.
Yeah, no, what would be so funny is you'd see all this tremendous action of me and us moving around high speed.
Right.
And then from time to time, you would see
the
important things. You know, it would just, suddenly it would go 2 feet over this way.
And then another component comes over.
And the component comes over, right. That's right. And the soldering iron moves, you know. Right. That would make a great thing on YouTube. Jimmy does a project.
Right.
Stop action. 2 weeks.
2 weeks to solder something. You know, right. The soldering iron gets turned on. You know, night day.
People come. Food gets spilled. Everything.
Soldering iron still on.
Hey, as you can hear, our phone thingy's working now. And we'll have it all hooked up for you to call in on a toll-free line soon. Right. Those of you who know the regular number, go ahead and call us next time we notify you that we're going to have a show.
Yep.
Otherwise, we'll try to notify many of our fans when we get the toll-free number hooked up so you can call in and be a part of the show.
Did you see that they're going to... Some charity was forced to pay copyright fees so that kids could sing Christmas carols in the UK?
Yeah, you did know that it was Happy Birthday still in copyright, right? Didn't Happy Birthday...
No, Happy Birthday's out.
There's another one that's real popular, apparently, that still is under copyright. But, yeah, this was in Bernie's town.
Bernie's town, yeah.
And England, they have a deal in England where you have to pay this tax no matter what. And apparently, if you play your radio too loud, even though you've paid the fee...
Right.
Because somebody else could hear it.
Oh, my God.
No, seriously. Yeah. Because somebody else can hear it, and they maybe haven't paid the fee, or you're not allowed to do that because it violates somebody's intellectual property. Right? No, I'm serious.
Copyright's so...
Yeah, man. No, actually, I had something that we wanted to talk about, but we'll get that next time.
Well, okay. And our favorite rock and roll wife beater died, Ike Turner.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, of course, the legend in his own mind. Yes. No, but he brought Tina to the fore. He got to give him that. I mean, there's no question about it. He was a little brutal.
Yeah.
Well, this says Happy Birthday is copyrighted.
Oh, really?
Jimmy knew. Got out of the shards of Jimmy's pickled memory comes some actual true fact, and I get dissed by the attorney until finally he has to apologize.
As opposed to a false fact.
That's right, as opposed to a false fact. True fact.
True fact. All righty, guys, have a great one.
4 out of 5 porn stars recommend Jimmy Doan. Thank you for listening to The Jimmy Doan Show. Spread the word by making CDs for your friends of The Jimmy Doan Show.
And then I said, whoops, there it is.